flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, it is a Motown Monday as we clean up the carnage from the NFC Championship game. Good to have you with us. Right here, you got the old rooster on the radio. Max is alongside on the other side, so be nice to him. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Wrap it up again. What was a blowout in the end, but was not a blowout. It was never in doubt. It was. It was controlled by the Eagles, but it was not a blowout from the start, if that makes sense. There is a difference. And maybe it doesn't matter much. I don't know. I take a little umbrage with what I keep hearing, which is, wow, the Commanders are in a different league than the Eagles. No, they're not. Stop. The Eagles were the better team yesterday. The Eagles are the better organization, better depth chart, because they've been together, by and large, for years. Years. Right? That doesn't mean that the Commanders can't play with them. That doesn't mean that the Commanders are, again, as we drew up the mental illustration, if the Eagles are boardwalk, that the Commanders are like Baltic Avenue. It just means that the Commanders aren't good enough yet. And certainly weren't good enough yesterday. But again, Austin Ekeler fumbles, second to last play of the third quarter. They are at midfield, they are driving, and they are down by 11 with a chance to at least get it to one score, if not less. Now, what happened after that makes it a blowout. But that's not the way it was from word one, or even for really any part of the first three quarters. You could say, and you would be right, that the Eagles controlled the game. That's fair. That's fair. That they were the better team from word one. That's fair. To say that the Commanders don't even belong on the same field as them, as I've heard some people say, more nationally than locally, no, nah, dog, not for me. All right, let's get back to the phones and get you guys aboard. And we'll say hello to our guy Jason and Laurel here to start the 2 o'clock hour. Jason, how are you, pal?
Hey, Rooster. Great. Great. I tell you, it's been a great season. It was awesome to see so much of the fan base back. And for me, you know, all of us in our lives, have had this moment where we've seen a, you know, a couple, a man and a woman together, and we're like, how did he pull that? Like, that doesn't, so he a millionaire or something? How did that happen? It was neat for us to be that guy this year. But in the end, you know, talent comes down. They're just a better team. I think everybody knows that the 53 in the roster, the Eagles are just better. But we have a ticket to the dance now because of JD5. And to me, the biggest question that needed to be asked this season is, did we draft the right quarterback? And I don't know how anybody looks at that question and doesn't say resoundingly, yes, times infinity, let's go. And I think because we made that draft pick, you know, the Eagles drafted two defensive backs and went from, you know, wherever they were to being the best defense in the league. Now, we're maybe more than two defensive backs away from being the best defense in the league, but because we got the quarterback, we're in a position where we can do that kind of stuff now. And I'm excited for this offseason just to see what happened. But it was such a thrilling season. And, I mean, the kid, he's just amazing. Not only his play, but off-the-field stuff. And it was just a real joy. I'm super excited.
If you have the quarterback right, what you have is you have a chance or a good chance. That's what you have, right? And your point is astute about the Eagles secondary. We'll talk more about that tomorrow and moving forward. But if you have the quarterback, you have a chance. Not that you can never, ever win in an isolated example, a one-year sample size, what have you, without a great quarterback or at least a very good quarterback. It's just really, really, really hard to do. If you look at it from this sense, the great quarterback, and I think Jaden is in that category, he's not perfect, but I think he's in that category, can overcome a lot of other deficiencies. Hopefully, that some of those deficiencies are covered up and improved and lessened, if not fixed, with $90 million or so, roughly, in free agency dollars. Not that they will use all of it, but also then a full draft class. Hopefully. Now, the caveat is they've got to figure out what to do with 23 free agents, right? But ultimately, the quarterback gives you a chance. And maybe because of the quarterback, they actually did have a chance for three quarters yesterday. Because, in fairness, it wasn't the defense outside of, you know, one drive that I'm thinking of. It wasn't the defense, right? It wasn't special teams. They weren't very good on special teams, although Zane Gonzalez wasn't the problem. It was kick coverage on the opening kick and then the Jeremy McNichols, fumble. And certainly, the Tressway fake punt obviously counts as a good special teams play, so I don't want to exclude him. But the point being is the quarterback gave you a chance to stay afloat yesterday and to hang in there. And if you could have stopped throwing up all over yourselves, you could have gotten back in that game. I appreciate you, Jace. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Let's go to, let's see here, Mark and Chevy Chase. Mark, how are you?
Hey, Chris. I would say the first play when Philadelphia learned to pitch the ball, that was the end of the day. That was the doomsday call for the Commanders on this day. Another way of putting it is the misdirection Philadelphia used throughout the game, the misdirection Philadelphia used with Jalen Hurts, and Hurt brought his A game, and that's what we need to figure out this offseason.
When you say that, are you just talking about being able to get to the perimeter and exploit a defense that way, or are you talking about something else?
I don't want to make you look bad, but for the coaches to figure out, you know, I have no idea how to stop misdirection. I think time possession is the big key of keeping it. You know, we had that 18-play drive. If we have Rob bruising it the whole game, maybe that's the best way to keep him off the field. But it didn't work out because we had four turnovers or something. So we have our work to do. I think we are back to the drawing board, starting from scratch again. All the teams, it seems like, have these forms of misdirection, which has seemed to put the pendulum back towards offense. So we need to adjust first. And I'll just say one other thing. The last championship game I remember Washington losing was 17-0 against the Giants. And then the next year, if you remember, I won't say anything more, but
yeah, that was 85, right? Yeah, 85. I was a young buck back then. Yeah,
that was freezing day. Freezing day.
Yep. All right, gotcha, Mark. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, I going back to that first play of the game, I mean, we had talked literally all week. How many times did you hear my loud, annoying voice say you can't let a 5 or 6 yard run turn into a 50 or 60 yard run? And literally, they could not wait more than one play. And yes, Dante Fowler did not seal the edge and got knocked down. Yes, Bobby Wagner stumbled. Yes, Jeremy Chinn and Quan Martin missed tackles. I mean, it took probably all four of those things. And to Mark's point, the pitch outside to Saquon Barkley to get him running outside on the perimeter downhill, which is something the Commanders don't do enough of on offense. Maybe it's because they don't have somebody with Saquon Barkley's physical ability. Physical ability, speed, and ability to turn it upfield. But anyway, it literally took them 7 seconds to destroy the integrity of everything that you would have thought was preached all week long. Because if we're preaching it, what do you think the coaches are preaching? I mean, I'm not some sort of genius. Hey, don't let a 5-yard run turn into a 50-yard run. Where do you think I pulled that from? I didn't pull it from anybody specifically, but I mean, that's what the coaches are preaching. Give up 5 yards. Give up 6 yards. Fine. Let them nickel and dime us. We'll make a play. We'll hold them off. We'll make a play on third down like Frankie Louvu made a couple of times. We'll find a way to force a mistake. Give up 4 or 5 yards. Give up 5 or 6 yards. Don't give up 50 or 60. And on the first play of the game, they couldn't wait to just throw up all over themselves. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Sean in Connecticut. What up, Sean? How are you, pal?
Pretty good. I think I'm blanking on his name, but one of the just recent callers said the goal of this season was to figure out if we had our franchise guy or not. And when you look at it like that, the season was a success. However, I've made it very clear my displeasure for the Philadelphia Eagles and their fan base, and I think that's an okay opinion from how they act. And the game yesterday reminded me of the Washington football that I've been used to for my entire life. It was like, yes, they were the much better team, whatever. To lose like that was just, it was pretty brutal. And the fact that we were obviously down 11, so like still have to climb the mountain, but we were still in the game after two fumbles, and then the Eckler fumble was just the cherry on top. It was so frustrating. I feel like every time we kept going, we just shot ourselves in the foot. And I really think that although we still had somewhat of a chance, I really do think that the fumbling a kick return in the NFC Championship is just the most Washington football thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It just felt like old times. I feel horrible for Jaden because I don't think he did kind of look a little antsy, and he missed a couple throws that he usually makes, but he still played well.
Yes.
And he was still like, he was doing enough to keep us in the game.
Yes.
And so I just feel so bad for him. Terry, Ertz played great. That could be his last game. I thought he played great. And Louvu, that one play on the, it was like 3rd and 5, I think. And they were about at the Eagles at about midfield. He timed the snap perfectly, shot through, and he blew up a read option.
Yep.
That player.
He had two big plays on third down, Frankie Louvu.
Yeah, yeah. So he was amazing.
Yep.
And that play for a split second, it reminded me of the Dorrance Armstrong strip sack because it just felt like a huge shift in the game. And I feel like if we, obviously all big ifs, but just for the sake of the conversation, if we go down and score there, who knows what happens. So it's just, it's so frustrating to lose that way. But at the end of the day, the Eagles, I think, by far the best roster in football, as much as it pains me to say that. And so I I'm happy that we showed some promise and we broke through this year, but it's not. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, well, like yesterday doesn't matter. Like we found out. Like it still sucks. Mm-hmm. It still stings. I still hate the Eagles more than most things in my life, and it's just, it just sucks. But silver lining, we got our guy, and he is one of those ones, and so we got to surround him with talent, and I do think this will be a good learning experience for him, and it'll drive him to get even better. And so I need to see some talent supplemented around him this off season, and then who knows what we can do next year. But yeah, we got our guy. That's the most important thing. Thanks for
that, boy, Sean. Thank you. Good to hear from you. And yeah, I mean, listen, they have their guy. There's no doubt about that. Now, can they keep him healthy? I have no idea. Hopefully, but I have no idea. He was pretty pissed off last night after the game. I know he just addressed the media a little while ago. I can't hear it right now, but I see it on some timelines and whatnot. So I'm going to try and take a listen to that. I like the fact that he was not happy about last night. I would say this, and it's a very good point. There's no guarantees, no matter what, but the fact that he does not have to go through theoretically to get to the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, gives you some solace that it's not going to be as hard. Not that it's not going to be hard, as hard as it is and will be for, as you see, Josh Allen to get through Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow has gotten through Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs once. They didn't another time. They have other issues. But the point being is, Jaden does not right, and Lamar too, Jaden does not right now have to deal with those four to just get back to the Super Bowl. Again, no guarantees. Doesn't mean it's not hard, but it means that it's a slightly easier path. That's what it means. All right, let me take a timeout, get back on track, and then we'll continue to knock down all your calls. We'll sprinkle in little things. Again, want to more focus on yesterday than the offseason, but I understand everybody is trying to feel a little bit of optimism after a blowout loss, ultimately a blowout loss. And again, keep in mind, for whatever little it's worth, it wasn't a blowout the entire game, not by any stretch. It was controlled. It was not a blowout. 55-23, though, the final score, and clearly they have a lot of work to do right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us. Let's get right back to the calls so we keep the line moving. Let's go to Lou, I think is next up on Longest Hold. What's up, Lou?
Chris, man, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Lou? How are you?
Could be better, man.
Yeah.
Not for those referees, man. I'm solely blaming that game on the referee, man. Like you say, you mentioned that we was in the game until that fumble, and they gave that ball right away to Philly.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
Not only that, but I don't understand how every turnover is supposed to be replayed, and we don't, like, there's no way for us to know what New York saw. Like, there's replay assist review, right? That's all done, via video shot. And again, they may have had different shots than we have. Show us. Man. Show us.
You supposed to go on timeout, or Dan's supposed to call, like, timeout something, man. That was a game-changing moment, and I just felt like If we drove down, maybe score a touchdown, we'd be down by four, if not by three, going for two or a field goal, whatever. And that was momentum change, and I just felt like the referee, man, they had their hands on this thing. And it's obvious when I saw the Buffalo Bills, they lost that fourth and one, whatever inch was. I mean, Josh picked up the first down, and they decided to review it, and they gave the ball to Kansas City. So I'm like, this can't be happening. Like, these guys work their butt off the foot.
Yeah, I don't know why we're surprised that officiating would play a major factor in a game. Like, it seems like in every game now, in every game, regular season, NFL, postseason, what have you, there's one to two calls that make literally zero sense. Now, yesterday, again, the Eckler fumble, the Biotis recovery, what have you, what happened in between that, the fiasco at the goal line, I mean, that's really weird. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, quite honestly. I know people are pissed off about the Lattimore thing. I thought Lattimore was the agitator in that particular situation, even though his helmet comes off. I know a lot of people are upset about it. They missed a Lattimore defensive pass interference call, which was clear and obvious, in which he bear hugged him right before the one that they called, which was less obvious, but still, I think, a good call. There was the hit on the sideline, that they called on Sanders still. I mean, maybe there was more than one or two, but the point being is, I think we can say this, Lou. It certainly was a factor, but it was not an overwhelming factor, is how I would look at it. It's not like they lost this game solely and specifically because of one horrible, heinous call.
Yeah, I will give you on that. I just think that when it's like, a fumble, things like that. I mean, that was a game-changing moment right there, because we stopped them, got the ball back down by 11. I just thought that, at least call timeout. Dan should have called timeout. And they gave the ball. They didn't even go to time. I mean, there wasn't no timeout. They didn't go to no commercial.
They didn't go to commercial, nothing. Yeah, I was a little surprised. And maybe Dan saw a different angle. I don't know than we did. But everyone was confused by it. So,
Chris, that ball was bouncing around. Nobody had clear possession of the ball. So I just thought that was just kind of set up. Yeah. They set us up, man. Roger Goodell set us up with these referees, man. They know they wasn't going to work for us. I mean, they did the same thing against New Orleans game. So they stopped the clock without even, come on, man. They didn't even have timeout. The ref literally just stopped the clock for them. So it was a setup. But at the end of the day, man, I'm grateful. I'm happy with the organization, the future of this team, Jaden. Man, it's been a hell of a ride, man. Yep. It's a tough loss, but, we was in the game, like you say. We, I know the score don't mean, 55-23, but, Jaden gave us the opportunity. It's just, it's some things that didn't go our way, and some, the turnover came and play a big factor. So it is what it is. And, on to the offseason and trusting our guys, and they're going to add up some pieces. And, we came as an underdog, and rightfully so, and we got our butt kicked. It is what it is, and
gotcha.
Let's go ahead and look for the next season, man.
All right, thank you, Lou. Appreciate you. Thank you. Talk to you later. Let's go to my guy, Double A, Athens and Annapolis. What up, Double A?
Well, it's disappointing, but it's also, I think people aren't looking at it for what it really is, because Philadelphia, for the last 25 years, is kind of the blueprint of what you want to be. They've won the NFC East 11 or 12 times. This was their eighth or ninth NFC championship game, and now this is their fourth Super Bowl appearance. That's all in 25 years. That's what we aspire to be, and I don't think people are acknowledging how talent deficient this team was this year. I just think that it shows hopes it attracts free agents and people who want to come out here. Shout out to Jason and Laurel, though, for the awesome comparison to the guy that everybody looks at him like, how did he get that girl? That's an awesome comparison, because I've been that guy once or twice in my life. But anyways, no, seriously, it's seriously.
Once or twice.
Yeah, exactly. Once or twice. I it was fool's gold the whole time, and I knew it, but still, it was nice to be that guy. But it's the truth, though, because it's just amazing how successful we were this year with how talent deficient. They have needs everywhere, but you know, just to piggyback off the referees, yeah, they were bad, but they didn't make us fumble three times yesterday. Mm-hmm. They you know, Philadelphia might have had 14 less points in the game, but it's still not the reason that they marched up and down the field on us, because until we started blitzing, we weren't getting to Hurts at all. It was pitch and catch back there for the better part of the first half. So, I mean, you know, we were talent deficient. I don't think the final score is indicative of how close the game could have been, but as I told the new host answering the phones, I said we got murderer's row next year of a schedule. So yeah. I just hope that we add a lot of talent around this kid, because the sky's the limit with the quarterback that we have. But we didn't lose because of officiating or nothing. They were just better. They dominated us in the trenches. And one last thing, and I know I sound like a Groundhog Day when I say this, but we got the quarterback right. Can you imagine if one or two of those first round draft picks that came before our quarterback would have been out there yesterday and could have helped us, if they were even worth a damn as a player? No, they're all on different teams or out of the league. So we got a lot to look forward to. I just hope they're able to bring in the talent in the offseason, because we got a really tough schedule next year.
No doubt. And we'll obviously spend time on the schedule and even before it comes out, but you're absolutely right. It's a lot is going to be tougher about next year. Thank you, Athan. Appreciate you. One thing I will say, like, again, everybody's going to think that this is the worst it can be, so automatically it's going to be better. The one major factor that I would say, and they had some injuries, but we know how brutal this sport is. They can have way more catastrophic injuries than they did this year, okay? And I'm not trying to curse anybody or whatever. And the one thing that I will continue to say, and Athan kind of pointed out, when you think about Chase Young bust, the late Dwayne Haskins bust, Jamin Davis bust, Fedarian Mathis bust, Emmanuel Forbes bust, Jahan Dotson bust. When you think of all of that, it's not only bust, but it's the attrition elsewhere, or it's the trickle-down effect. You got to find bodies to replace them that are, again, maybe not as good or talented. Maybe they're a better player, whatever. But the point being is you have to spend essentially double the resources trying to fix the one problem that you were trying to fix. It's not just bust and it didn't work out. You move on and, okay, like there's resources that now have to be spent through the draft or free agency to cover up the mistake that was made or the move that didn't work out. 301-230-0980. Let's do a quick trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, and then back to your calls. All right, we continue along here on a post-NFC Championship clean up the carnage Monday. Commanders season over. Plenty of optimism abound, but obviously, I will tell you this, from being in the locker room last night, I mean, there was no, hey, we had a great season. Everybody, let's sing Kumbaya. They were pissed. They were really, really, really disappointed.
As they should be.
As they should be. You're right, Max. I mean, because even though it would be easy to be like, hey, man, you know, we did a lot. You know, we did a lot to get here. We just had a bad day. You know, and I'm sure that ultimately is the sentiment. We accomplished a lot. We fixed a lot. We did a lot right. We did a lot good. It wasn't the sentiment that overwhelmingly they were conveying last night. I'm sure today is going to be a little bit different. If you have a guy on, you know, talk to a guy at the supermarket a week from now, you know, maybe when some of the sting is different, hey, yeah, we accomplished a lot. We did a lot. That was not the sentiment that I picked up last night talking to Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Jeremy Chin, Terry McLaurin. Who else did I talk to? Cleland Farrell, you know, and everybody talks at the same time, so it's just impossible to be everywhere. But that was not the sentiment that I picked up last night, which is good. And certainly, if you saw Jaden's press conference, you know, he wasn't thrilled. And he's, you know, pretty much as we've talked about all along, as mild-mannered as you get, he wasn't thrilled. And again, nobody should be resting on their laurels because there's no guarantee that you make it back to this point. Not even close, right? I mean, if you think about it. Now, again, there's strong arguments that you can make as to why they should make it back here. But should is way, 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 way different, as we all know, than will. I mean, I should go to the gym tonight. Will I? I don't know. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get back to you on the phones. I think D.C. and Calvert County is up next. D.C., how are you, pal?
Hey, Russell, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. Limping to the finish line at the end of this season, I can tell you that. But we're okay, you know. Wish they were going to the Super Bowl, but, you know, can look at it from a couple of different perspectives.
No, I definitely was looking forward to going to the Super Bowl as well, you know what I mean? But those turnovers, obviously, as we all know, turnovers is usually what helps you either win or lose the game. I'm really disappointed because the mistakes were made by veterans, you know what I mean? But I'm definitely looking forward to next season. We can accomplish a lot this season. We have something to build on, as everyone says. We have a foundation. And I just want to show up the D-line, the O-line, and then
what did you think? I mean, you said most of the veterans. What did you think of the first half, let's call it, yesterday? Did you think they came – I mean, they came out strong. They 17-play drive, whatever it was, but had to settle for the field goal, right? And overall, I thought, like, if they were going to win that game, they had to be better in the first half. But yet, with a 1:45 left to go, they're down 20-12, and you're like, they got the ball. And then Jeremy McNichols' fumble, obviously, you know, kind of, for me, was the first time that I really felt despondent about that game.
Yeah, I felt good about the first half. I think we could have took advantage of some more situations, but they played our normal game. Like, it was how do I want to say it? It wasn't our best performance, and it wasn't our worst. It was somewhere along the lines of how we played a game, you know, against a definitely NFC champion-type team, a team that's been to the Super Bowl and have a coaching staff that leads their team the right way. So I think we were playing our game. It's just we needed to take advantage. Deami having that fumble, and, you know, it kind of – I ain't going to say it changed the mood because everybody picked them up, but it wasn't going the way we normally mm-hmm. do. You know what I'm saying? Even though we converted the fourth downs, and it was a great pass by Tress, great catch by Ben Sinat. But, you know – We should have scored on that drive as well, a touchdown instead of three.
Right, they got the three. Right.
I'm definitely like looking forward to the future. Like I'm excited about the future, the help that they're going to bring, especially with Jaden and Terry. And the next time you talk to John, I want to see if John Gruden remembers this play that made me realize Terry apologies, mm-hmm. Jay. The first training camp, McLaurin's rookie training camp. I think it was Colt McCoy or someone. They were literally trying to just throw the ball away because it was a live period, and he knew that he couldn't scramble, and he knew he wasn't going to be able to complete the pass, really. But he was throwing it away out of bounds, kind of the same way Jaden was throwing the touchdown to McLaurin on the left side corner of the end zone. And Terry went up and got this ball. I swear he went about 12 feet up in the air, and the DB hit him, and he landed on his back of his shoulders and head. Mm-hmm. And John, Jay, he ended practice right there. But me and my kids looked at that like he wasn't even supposed to catch it. If we can find some more players that's willing to go get it like that in practice, I mean, Terry's the leader. Jaden's a leader. Those type of dudes, I'll never forget. And that was just at practice in camp. You know what I mean?
I got you. Well, Jay, you know, remember, like they did not play him in the preseason. And Jay has told us on this show and whatever, you know, they knew in mid-August what they knew how special he was, and that's why they kind of shut him down from a game plan philosophy. Plus, he was a little bit nicked up. So wanted to preserve and protect him. But I do vaguely remember that play and everything that they – yeah, everything that they thought about Terry McLaurin was great. DC, I had to let you run because we got to get to some more calls here. I appreciate you as always. Let's get to Rashad in Fort Washington. What's up, Rashad? How are you?
Hey, Rashad, how you doing, man?
What's up, Rashad?
Hey, everything's good. First, I'd like to say that, you know, I'm definitely proud of our team, you know. I think that it hurts so bad for everybody, you know, all of the fans and everything, because whether we lost by one touchdown or we lost by as much as we lost by, we were looking forward to the Super Bowl, you know. And so I think an L regardless, we would still be feeling the way that we feel.
Sure.
It hurts. It hurts even more because it doesn't seem like – it seemed that they were playing yesterday as if they had next week.
Hmm.
They didn't leave it on the football field, you know. But one thing that we can take away from this is that whoever does stick around for next year, now you have playoff experience.
Yeah.
You know. So now you know that feeling, and you know how hard you need to go next year, you know, in the preseason and the off season and things of that nature. And also, too, for the ones that stick around and whoever comes aboard, you know, from speaking from experience, you know how to strengthen that teammate.
Well,
you know?
Not only the experience, but think about it, also home field could be a factor too, right? If you have the experience and home field next year, if, and that's two big ifs, you know, maybe that sways the performance, you know. I don't know if they weren't prepared. I shouldn't say you said that. You said they played like they had next week, which is different than being prepared, right? Mentally, you could be okay, we can, you know, maybe we're just not as totally focused and as totally locked in, and that happens, right? I prefer to think that the Eagles were the better team, the more established organization. And they played almost perfectly. Almost perfectly.
And then one other thing. Also, too, coming off of a win like we had against Detroit, you know? We smashed Detroit in the mouth like how we got smashed in the mouth yesterday. So, the guys, they were bigger and stronger than us.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And deeper on all levels of their offense and defense. There isn't really a weak spot on the Philadelphia Eagles like there was on the Lions, like there was on the Bucs.
I hear people talking about the refs. Man, we cannot leave the hands in the game in the hands of the ref.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you go, if you go to any of these home stadiums or whatever the case, the refs are going to be on that home team side. So that's all I got to say.
All right. Appreciate you.
To the Redskins, to the Commanders, you know, let's go get them.
Thank you, Rashad. Good call. Appreciate it. Why don't we take a quick timeout so we can stay on track? We'll get more of your calls in before 3 o'clock. Scheduled to talk to Jay. We'll have plenty of time in the 3 o'clock hour still to take more of your calls. Let's do that on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app. All right, everybody. As we approach 3 o'clock, Jay Gruden coming up in less than 10 minutes. Wanted to spend a moment here before we go any further. Now that the Capitals have put something out, started getting texts about this earlier before the show, but I wasn't sure what exactly was the situation and what was going on. But you guys know it's been a brutal week between losing Pete last Monday night and then Dimitri Sotis from WTOP. Passed away over the weekend, and I just found that out last night at Lincoln Financial Field, talking to a good buddy of mine, George Wallace, who I've known forever, who's very close to Dimitri, and I've met Dimitri a couple of times, and we followed each other on X and all that stuff, and just heartbreaking. And then the Capitals have just put out a statement saying, the Washington Capitals express our heartfelt thoughts and send our best wishes to our beloved public address announcer, Wes Johnson. They want you to visit a GoFundMe page established by the Johnson family for additional support. I just retweeted it or posted it, whatever. The statement itself is the Washington Capitals expressing again our heartfelt thoughts and send our best wishes to our beloved PA announcer, Wes Johnson, as he faces a significant medical emergency. We kindly ask everyone to keep Wes in your thoughts and to respect the family's privacy as they navigate this challenging time and focus on Wes's well-being. I don't know exactly what happened. I mean, I've heard, you know, a couple of things, but I don't know if it's appropriate for me to get into on the radio. The bottom line is it sounds very significant. I've known Wes for a long, long time, and he is a good man. And, you know, everybody that has been to a Capitals game over the last, gosh, more than 15 years.
My whole life.
Right?
Like, he's, right? Every time I go to a game, it's his voice. And it's, yeah, I've met him a couple times. And I've met people who know him. And he's such a good stand-up dude. Yeah, donate whatever you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. You know, and I mean, we all understand, and, you know, people unfortunately go through a lot of tragedy and families, and I, God knows what my kids have been through, what I've, you know, everybody's been through it, right? So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go too far here, but, you know, It's been a rough last 6 days or 7 days, just in the DMV broadcasting media. You know, Wes is sort of kind of media, but not really. You know, it's kind of a different role. But either way, it just doesn't matter. We're just thinking about you, Wes. I hope like hell that you can fight through this and get better. And we're thinking about Wes's family. And again, if you can help out, the Capitals have posted it with a link. I reposted it. If you can help out in any way, and please still keep contributing to Pete's GoFundMe, because him, you know, I mean, Brenda and Kelly, you know, they need a lot of help too. And we're getting ready to say goodbye to Pete officially this Saturday. And that's going to be, you know, very emotional and tough and, you know, all that stuff. So just keep in mind that. Tell you what we're going to do. Because of that, and I just wanted to make sure that we gave it its proper attention, because it's very real, and ultimately it's more important than what we think about a football game. Just wanted to make sure, guys on hold, if you can hang in there, we're going to get to Jay on time today so that we can get back and more calls in on the other side. But Jay Gruden coming up to break down the Commanders Conference Championship game loss yesterday in Philadelphia, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.